Yeah, but he knew he was going to reap the benefits eventually,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He reaped the benefits the whole time because you have to practice a lot of recipes.
You want to know how important cooking is to Mary Ellen? She knew that coming to our house to stay, it's like, I don't want to be picky, Chris. I don't want to, you know, have these meals. So if you don't mind, I'll just cook all of our meals while we're
so
there.
How's that gone?
It's good. It's good. I mean,
yeah. We've shared in the cooking, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, Chris has done her part, of course.
Well, I more mean, how's it taste?
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. All right, we're back from our break.
Yes, indeed. So speaking along the lines of what your husband went through, is it fair to say that the whole food plant-based lifestyle has become a passion for you based on what you've experienced?
Yes.
A mission to share? Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you share?
Yeah, so a lot of it is just, you know, at first I was sharing my journey and I got questions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, within a few months of our transition, I had several other friends that also went that direction and started to transform their health as well. As things went along, I decided to try and because I would get a lot of questions on cooking. So I love to cook. And this spring, I actually completed culinary school, plant-based culinary school, which was a lifelong dream for me.
Is that fun?
Neat.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And my husband suffered through all of it.
Yeah, but he knew he was going to reap the benefits eventually, right?
Oh, yeah. He reaped the benefits the whole time because you have to practice a lot of recipes.
You want to know how important cooking is to Mary Ellen? She knew that coming to our house to stay, it's like, I don't want to be picky, Chris. I don't want to, you know, have these meals. So if you don't mind, I'll just cook all of our meals while we're there.
How's that gone?
It's good. It's good. Yeah. I mean,
we've shared in the cooking, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, Chris has done her part, of course.
Well, I guess, and how's it taste? I would like to try.
Yeah, I mean, I call them the buffalo bean burgers, but they're the black bean burgers.
They were a black bean burger.
Because they're kind of orange, so I kind of, you know, the buffalo style, you know. They were very good. Oatmeal, corn, black bean. It was good.
Yeah.
And so, it's like, I think is it fair to say that there hasn't been you haven't felt any resistance?
Not from my husband at all, no.
Well, even from in our household is what I'm saying.
No, I haven't, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
we can get into a little bit of the obstacles here, because that's definitely something I think it's worth talking about. But I'm trying to remember what your original question was.
I don't know either.
It had to do with people, you know, as you're...
How did I share? Yeah, so the next step for me was a little over a year ago, because I was getting a lot of questions. And I'm not a great... I'm not a huge fan of using a lot of social media. I'm a very in-person. And so people started to get a little more comfortable with being together, you know, a year ago. So I just thought, I'm going to try and see if I can just put together a little cooking class. So I just put it out there on Facebook and I said, would anybody be interested? And there was quite a few. So every 3 or 4 weeks, I was, for the last year, I've done a cooking class in my home. And it's been very informal, but people have really come to love it. So I put together, usually it's a theme based. So we might do like breakfast, and I have recipes all printed out for everybody. And some of it is actual cooking the food in front of them. And some of it's, I already have some of the things made. And so there's a lot of sampling. And in that, questions and answers, whatever people. So it's a hands-on approach to teaching. And I've also done some of those in the community as well. I was asked by another nonprofit locally if I would come in and do them in their community. And that was the first time teaching to strangers, people I didn't know. And that was a lot of fun as well. And now I'm taking that the next step. I just started last night, actually, working with an organization called Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And I'm being educated to be a Food for Life educator. And it's a licensure program. And so you teach disease reversal and also just lifestyle medicine in the community. And so I'm super excited to be a part of that program. So that'll expand the people that I can work with. And I'll also have the credentials to go with it. So,
nice.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, and Mary Beth was on here. I was trying to get her to start a podcast or a blog. So,
Yeah, and there's a lot of them out there for the plant-based community. I mean, that was honestly my lifeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you've embarked on this journey, can you speak to some of the obstacles that you faced in such a way that might help others?
Right. And I would say my obstacles, maybe someone's, but I think other people have different ones as well because we all have our own journey. For me, the actual transition and the cooking part was not an obstacle for me, but it is for a lot of people. I just had to equip myself. And if anybody wants to go down that direction, there is quite a few YouTubers and bloggers that put out wonderful recipes and inspiring videos and things that really help you. You know, I never thought I'd be watching somebody's What I Eat in a Day videos, but they have been very helpful because a lot of it is just getting your head around what does it look like on your plate. Yeah. So, you know, in the beginning I was like, you know, you remove the chicken, what are you putting there? And so I was always trying to add a protein, come back to that, onto my plate. Where now I'm just learning there are a lot of things that we eat that are plant-based all the time we don't think about. You know, beans and rice or a chili or a curry, you know, there's a lot of things. A lot of what we eat is just it's the flavor of what we're doing. So if someone is moving that direction or wants to just explore it, there are, and there's bloggers and YouTubers that are in books that are geared towards certain ethnic groups as well, as far as the types of cooking. And I've done a little bit of all of it, and it's delicious. There's nothing you're missing along the way. So, I would say for us, my husband and I, the biggest obstacle has been the social piece of it. People do not understand our society isn't supportive of it as far as even restaurants and things. So there are some areas of the country that you would find more places to go.
California or
and some like around DC, the cities you tend to have more. And even now, like here, we were looking at, you know, even so you can find maybe vegan food, but it's not necessarily healthy. And I'm not so strict that I won't occasionally eat out and eat something that is. So the other component of a whole food plant-based diet I should specify is no oil, which is a completely different thing for most people. Wow. It's no oil. And there's some people that use, so there's no, it's no processed thing. So oil is a processed food. There are some people that do include some olive oil in their diet, but in general, most people are oil free. And a lot of people also go salt free as well.
Justin.
I know.
I'm not hungry anymore.
So it's, again, like, it depends on what you're doing it for too, right? I mean, salt is sodium in our diet is a huge part of people's health decline as well. But usually it's in the processed food because there's so much sodium in it. So
it's additional sodium or all sodium, would you say?
We need some sodium.
Okay.
But sodium is in food. Mm-hmm. Celery, all sorts of foods have sodium in them, but it's all the additives of, and you know, even if you're not eating out and not eating processed food and you're adding salt from a salt shaker, you're going to not get, it's not going to be too much. It's when we buy, you know, you think, you know, one takeout meal has more sodium than you should eat in a day. And a lot of people are eating takeout 2 and 3 times a day. I think we need to stop and look at what we're eating, you know, but to that, the society does not, is not real supportive of the infrastructure for a plant-based diet as far as eating out and eating with other people, social things. That has been the hardest. Some of it has been with family, to be honest. The first Thanksgiving was the pandemic and we didn't get together with everybody, so that wasn't an issue, but wow, the second one, boy, it was difficult. Not for me. I was fine with eating my other things that I made. You can still eat mashed potatoes and there's a lot of great things. You just make them differently.
Sure.
And the food is still delicious, but it's different. Mm-hmm. And we have tradition. So my mom had a really hard time. Mm-hmm. You know, why are... Not only was I not eating the food, I wasn't making it anymore. So part of that journey for me has been not doing that. Food is a communication of love for a lot of people, including myself. Mm-hmm. So I've fed people, given people food, baked for people for most of my life as gifts and a form of nurturing. And I had to really shift what that looked like. Because for me, it's not loving to give somebody something that's not healthy for them. Mm. So, you know, if someone has diabetes, you don't gift them fudge, you know? I mean, it's just not loving in my mind. Mm-hmm. Even if it's their favorite thing, it's not beneficial to their health.
Well,
so that's my personal
feeling. It's not that different from other addictions.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And
like
I think
if someone really likes weed, you probably shouldn't just give it to them as a gift, would be my guess.
Right. And
or
so,
whatever
I
your
mean,
addiction
you know,
choice is. Alcohol, like they're an alcoholic, they're in recovery.
Right.
You know what? I brought you a 6-pack as a gift because I know how much you love it.
But I will tell you that is not how it's looked at. So it is an addiction, but it's not supported in our society. So I want us to think about that for a minute. If we are, say someone is a recovering alcoholic, would you be like, oh, come on, man, just have a beer? Like,
well you'd be surprised.
I do know what happens, but is that loving?
No.
Like a true friend would not do that.
Right.
But, you know, someone that has ripped off that Band-Aid, they've transitioned, they've turned their health around with a plant-based diet, and they're in a social setting and people guilt them.
Yeah.
But I made you this cake and how can you not eat it? And it's very real and the pressure is real. And I know so many people that do not stay true to what they're doing because of the social pressures.
Mm.
It was helpful that my husband is plant-based. That is huge.
Sure.
I am a very disciplined person when it comes to just because I've had to be in order to get better. And that would not have changed what I was doing in my home, but it would have made it more difficult.
Sure.
And it would have made it more difficult when we were going out. It's nice that we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So I have to think ahead, plan ahead. And that was part of my conversation with Chris and Mark. I talked to Chris ahead of time because I don't want to offend people.
Yeah.
I don't want to offend people. I've realized that it runs very deep for people and they can be offended. And so I just wanted to say, like, I don't want to offend you, but is it okay if I do my own cooking? Or, you know, because I understand it's people also don't want to bend over backwards to try to figure it out. It seems complicated. It doesn't have to be, but it is different. It's different.
And I appreciate what you share in that you can communicate love by cooking for people. And I think so often we misunderstand as of our love of food.
Right.
There's a big difference between loving food and communicating love by cooking for others. And I think, you know, I appreciate that dynamic and that aspect of the communication you shared because you wanted to convey a love and say, hey, we respect that we're different. And yet there's a desire to love and care for and, you know, and to avoid that defensiveness, if you will, that can go along with, yeah, well, what are we doing? Well, we love this food, you know, what makes that wrong for you? And I think that's what, you know, you battle or, you know, part of that obstacle is that misunderstanding, if you will.
And it's been a real eye opener, to be honest with you, because where are our priorities as a culture and also how we treat others in this? And, you know, even as a Christian woman, you know, how often have we, you know, we've heard, we've been told, and we know we need to care for our temples. We need to take care of our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And I think most people want to do that. We want to be feeling well and able to live our life to the fullest. But if we're given the tools and the wisdom and we choose to not do that, you know, I just love my bacon. I couldn't do that. So I'm just going to die of heart disease. It's what are we saying in that? And I think, you know, that's going to step on some people's toes, but
yeah, this has been in this room. No,
right, no, kidding, but I just, you know, we really have to, if we love, we love that food over our quality of life. Mm-hmm. So people will say it's so hard. I'm like, so is being sick. Being sick is hard. Diabetes is hard. Heart disease is hard. Mm-hmm. Lyme disease is hard. Being sick is really difficult. It does. It affects every single aspect of your life. So yes, eating plant-based affects every aspect of our lives. Mm-hmm. So when we go places, we pack food everywhere. We rarely eat out at restaurants because there's not much availability where we live. When we go to people's houses, it can be a little awkward. People don't necessarily want to host us for dinner always because they don't know what to make. And so I've had to learn to be proactive and have conversations and be gracious and understanding of that.
Because food is such a big
social
component of our lives. I mean, it's,
it is.
In fact, maybe the biggest in terms of social interactions.
Possibly religion.
Yeah.
Gatherings.
Yeah, underneath that. Yeah. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. And you don't have to give any of that up. It's just different. Yeah. It's just different. Yeah, you know, I mean, you don't have the turkey on the Thanksgiving table, but it's still Thanksgiving. Like, can we give thanks for things differently? Yeah,
Thanksgiving, this is a broader conversation that ties into tradition, which I think is worth having as well, but just how we replace the original thing with the tradition and say, this is the original thing. Or, you know, we kind of, Thanksgiving is this turkey. It's like, wait a second. Remember what the word is. It's about Thanksgiving. It's about giving thanks.
Or Thanksgiving is about Black Friday and shopping. Right. You know? Yes, we've absolutely. And so this has been a deep journey. It's only started with the food.
Yeah.
And then it's caused a lot of deeper thinking on my part. And also in that is the direction of, you know, the other pieces that come into that. Because once you're in the plant-based world, there's the discussion of the environment and animal welfare and all of those things. And it just opens up all of these, this awareness. And once you have awareness of things, you can't put that awareness away. You know it.
Yeah.
And I just see the world differently now than I did 3 years ago. And I'm thankful for that, but it also makes it hard. There's a tension in that because it's hard for me to watch somebody that is suffering. They're overweight. They don't feel well. And yeah, there they are filling their plate with all these unhealthy things that are just, it's just fuel to that illness and not insert myself in that.
I'm thinking, this isn't a defensive statement or anything, but I'm thinking about, you know, as we mentioned, you know, antibiotics and animals, I'm going to that other end of the spectrum of saying, you know, pesticides and foods and, you know, typically foods are, you know, the three chemicals in fertilizer, what is it, potash and, you know, sodium and phosphate, you know, that kind of, you know, that we can give plants just those three things. And they don't necessarily have the nutrient broadness that we're looking. How do you personally kind of overcome that to where you're not just, you know, consuming food that's deplete of the rest of the nutrients that our bodies actually need? Help me understand that from your perspective.
So let me dispel a few myths.
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. So one of the things that comes out there is that they're, plants are not complete amino acid profile.
Okay.
So when people say, well, they're not complete proteins, that is a myth.
Okay.
Plants all have, every plant has every amino acid in it. It is an absolute myth. Plants also contain protein.
Gotcha.
And it doesn't even have to be intentional. You don't have to be like, I need to eat 3 cups of beans a day. It is all plants have protein in them.
Gotcha.
Oatmeal has as much protein as eggs. Broccoli has protein in it.
Sure.
And they also have most of the things that animals get from plants. So animals get their sources from plants.
Sure.
So one of the things people say is we're, you know, like omega-3s. And so they get it with a fish oil, right? Well, fish get it from the algae. So go to the source. So part of the whole food plant-based diet is go to the source. Go to the source of things. And so a plant-based diet... There is any any diet can have its deficiency, right? So one of the things I will say up front is B12. B12 is deficient in a vegan diet. A lot of omnivores also are missing B12, but B12 comes from the soil, bacteria in the soil, which then gets eaten by the animals, which then you get from them. But our soil is too clean now, so we don't get it from the soil. So you have to supplement with B12. And most people need vitamin D, but that has nothing to do with a plant-based diet. That's just, people get it from their milk because it's added to the milk.
Correct.
So there are some plant-based milk alternatives that have it added, but most people just choose to supplement. Other than that, a plant-based diet, a well-rounded one, has everything that you need, even if you don't eat a drop of it organic.
Gotcha.
So a traditional grown plant-based diet will have all that you need, and it's better and healthier for you than a standard American diet by far. But it's not good. You know, there are the issues of other things that come into play. And obviously, if you can purchase organic and be more strategic in how you're doing things, buy local, all of those things play a role. And they certainly play a role. In my situation, I was, you know, eating a lot of dark leafy greens, and I did make sure they were organic because I wasn't going to trade one thing off for another. And there are a lot of pesticides on our foods. And I'm very intentional about certain foods that I buy only organic,
Possible. Such as?
So I use the Environmental Working Group Dirty Dozen list. And on that list, on the top every time, is strawberries.
Okay.
They are right up there. And that is one thing I do not... They have like over 40 different chemicals on standard grown strawberries. I know. So there's, you know, one, you know, there's a lot of myths out there. Another big thing that I hear is it's too expensive. And, that is not true. And overall, a plant-based diet is 20% less expensive than a standard diet, but it depends on what you're eating. And that's true of a regular diet, right?
Sure.
I mean, are you buying blueberries that are out of season in the little tiny carton, or are you buying them frozen? You know, what are you buying? And, beans are very inexpensive, as well as a lot of the grains and potatoes. I mean, these are things that cultures
oatmeal is cheap.
Oatmeal is very inexpensive. The cultures in the world that are most plant-based are also the poorest cultures in the world. So most things in a plant-based diet are, I mean, there's certain vegetables, absolutely. And the more fresh produce you're buying out of season, the more expensive it's going to be. But frozen vegetables, frozen fruit, grains, beans, all those things are definitely less expensive than cheese and meat overall.
Yeah.
So you can definitely do it on a budget.
So you see that for you and your husband, you see this as being long term. This is going to be a
there's
lifestyle.
No turning back. We have no intention of ever going off of a plant-based diet. It will be the way we live for the rest of our lives. And I speaking to just the future of our culture, it's going to be moving that way because people's health is we're going to get to a tipping point. And a plant-based diet is the answer to most health issues. 80% of chronic disease can be completely eliminated on a plant-based diet. Just gone. It wouldn't exist, which is a good portion of the deaths in the U.S.
You made the bold claim, and we're going to reach a tipping point. What in your mind would trigger that? And what would trigger that? And what would the result look like as a result of that tipping point?
Honestly, there's going to be two things. It's either going to be people's personal health, just taking right now, this generation, us, we're going to die at a younger age than the last.
Well, isn't that what we just heard this week? That the First, and I'm trying to remember. This will be the first.
We're going backwards. Despite all of our modern things, because it's interesting that we can't undo the damage.
The statistic is this is the first time that the longevity is going backwards, lower than it was previously.
But what's the exact life expectancy? Thank you, man. It's like, what are the words? I need the words. My brain won't move on until I have, like, sorry.
No, that's absolutely. And so the longest living people in the world are, if not exclusively plant-based, they are primarily plant-based. There's been studies, the Blue Zones are the longest living people in the world, and they may eat very small amounts of seafood or a little bit of cheese here and there, but it's little. In America, we eat 220 pounds of meat a year per person, 55 pounds of cheese. That's not even seafood. The average American eats at least 40%, if not 60% of processed food in their diet. Less than 10% plants, and the majority of that is potatoes made into French fries.
Processed.
So yeah. Something's going to have to change. The other piece of this that most people are completely unaware of is the environmental impact that animal agriculture has had. And we are not 100, 200 years from not being able to live on this planet. We are 40 or 50 years from not being able to survive as we are on this planet, if we do not make changes, because animal agriculture is killing our soil and emitting a lot of greenhouse gas. I am not saying that every single person needs to go vegan. We do need to shift. You know, we need to shift away from all 220 pounds of meat a year. Like, we just, our lifestyle cannot, our planet cannot sustain it. And the sad thing is that if we went plant-based, we could feed the whole world. Because there would be enough food.
And to grow what's needed to feed the world requires a lot less footprint than what's required.
The environmental footprint of a hamburger versus a bean burger is huge. And I really encourage people to look into it, because, you know, we are aware, take a shorter shower or, you know, turn off your lights. We're all about getting a Tesla and driving this electric car or whatever. But do we think about what we're putting on our plate? And the biggest thing that we can do to reduce our environmental footprint is to take animals off our plates. The environmental footprint of beef and dairy is so huge. And I think we just need to think about it. So that tipping point is that. And I hope and pray that we have an awakening before. There's just some things that just take so long. I mean, just think about my health. You know, what if I had done this 10 years ago? So it's taken, our planet is the same way, like restoring what we've done and the damage we've done. There is a tipping point. And so I'm very encouraged by the youth and their desire to make changes for the planet. I just hope the truth comes out. And right now, a lot of it is being hidden by follow the money trail. There is no big broccoli, but there is a dairy council and a poultry council and a beef council. But there is no big broccoli. So there's no agenda in the plant-based movement, especially the whole food plant-based movement, because we're not selling anything.
Health is what,
but there's because anything that's sold has to have someone backing behind it. You know, you can grow your own food. A lot of people can anyhow.
No doubt.
But
based on this conversation, as with other guests that have just a wealth of information, I'd love to get a list of resources from you. A few of the things that stand out is like food resources. You mentioned food bloggers or even some videos where they talk about
there's great documentaries out there. One of them I can list right off the top that you two would probably both enjoy is on, not to give Netflix any more business, but Netflix has a documentary called The Game Changers. And it's been their number one documentary ever watched. And it's very entertaining as well.
Nice.
So, but there's a lot of free things on YouTube as well. Forks Over Knives is on there. That one, in my meeting last night, probably half the people discovered a plant-based diet through Forks Over Knives. So, yeah. And I just want people to know that there is hope, and change can be hard, but it's worth it.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of people suffering with health issues, and there are answers.
Yeah.
And as with anything like this, it's difficult to get started, and the best thing that you can do is find some resources, find some support, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Support.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's huge.
And I will say one thing I love about the plant-based community is there's a lot of free resources. There's a lot of free support. There is, you know, free Kickstart programs and a lot of free resources out there. So I will definitely be glad to provide those to you.
Cool. Yeah. We'll put like a PDF together of resources and be able to share that with listeners.
Yeah. Well, on behalf of us, thank you, Mary Ellen. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the information and appreciate you sharing how you see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said dot click, as in dot C-L-I-C-K. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.